Our second lesson today is from Psalm 67, and I invite you to read with me responsively. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you.
Let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon the earth.
Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the people praise you.
The earth has yielded its increase.
God, our God, has blessed us. May God continue to bless us. Let all the ends of the earth revere him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. Well, it is a pleasure to be with you this morning, and I'll see you again next Sunday morning if you'll have me back. I'm pleased to try to substitute for Pastor Wade. He's a dear friend, and he's doing God's work along with some other folks from this congregation and from my congregation in Team One with Marion Medical Mission, and we are grateful that they are able to do those kinds of things in God's name. For those of you who don't know me, I know some of you, but I am a ruling elder, as Granger said, at First Pres Carbondale. I'm one of the elders in charge of worship, but I'm also studying to be a commissioned lay pastor for the Presbyterian Church and to serve in our presbytery eventually. I'm under care of Presbytery, and Tim Van Roekel is my spiritual guide in that journey, and I'm under care of our session, and I'm studying through Dubuque Theological Seminary. So the message I'm delivering today is a little out of order if you're following the lectionary reading. It is my final exam for my preaching course, and I wanted to share that with you because I thought it was an important message, and it fits so nicely with where we are in this world. The text is from Psalm 67, and I call it Journey On. And I start in a very strange place for a Presbyterian preacher with Chinese philosopher Lao Tzu. Lao Tzu once said, "The journey of 1,000 miles begins with one step." Pretty simple. That's how I started with the young people this morning. Today's message is about a journey and the importance of traveling with God. In Psalm 67, God reveals a message to us today through the Old Testament, and that in and of itself is a journey we don't take too often. I have to confess, in my preaching class, I always opted for the New Testament text. So easier to preach the good news, easier to find a way into talking about Jesus and salvation. And for the final exam, we had to write 2 sermons, and we had to draw them from the lectionary reading for that the week they were due. And the professor didn't really give any instructions other than go to the lectionary, and anything from Sunday to Friday, you can write your sermon based on whatever the readings are. So I picked, I forgot what, but a New Testament readings. And then in that week, he sent each of us an email saying, "And for next week, you are to use the Other Testament." And I thought, oh, no. So this is a journey that I don't take very often, to think critically and deeply and eschatologically about the Old Testament passages. But the Old Testament is in the Bible for a reason. You all know that. The Old Testament law was given to the nation of Israel. Some laws were to reveal to the Israelites how to obey and to please God, like the Ten Commandments. Some laws were to show the Israelites how to worship God and atone for sin, the notion of sacrifice. Some of the laws were intended to make the Israelites distinct from other nations. There were rules about food and clothing. But Christians are bound by God's covenant with them through the risen Christ. When Jesus died on the cross, he put an end to Old Testament law as it was practiced then and taught us that the new law gives attention to the laws of Moses, but requires that we also truly love God and love everyone else. We don't discard the Old Testament. The Old Testament is a guidepost for knowing how to love God and knowing what it really means to love your neighbor. And today's Hebrew scripture is partly instructive in that way. So today's psalm, so you have some real context, was actually for a Sunday in Eastertide. And it was the Old Testament scripture that, as I told you, I was assigned to write for my intro to preaching final exam. When I first read the psalm, I immediately saw that it was about a blessing. A blessing, Baruch, is always a gift from God. God blesses us as confirmation of God's continuing relationship to us as people of God. People who have a larger role to play in God's unfolding salvation history with all peoples and all nations on earth. But to dig into the meaning of blessed is to take another big step on our journey. My research on blessed led me to an essay by Rami Aloni from Jewish Magazine, and the essay was simply titled Blessings. So hang in there with me as we take a textual interpretive trip together, and I promise you that it will be worth it. Mr. Aloni writes that each day observant Jews make 100 blessings. 100. He also explains that the formula for a blessing is always the same. From some additional reading, I learned that a blessing is meant to acknowledge God as the source of all things, and blessings typically begin with the words, Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Halom, which means, praised are you, Adonai, our God, ruler of the universe. If you look at your bulletin this morning, during the prelude, you will see that that blessing is written out for you in Hebrew and in English. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Halom. A blessing can also be said when someone experiences something that makes them feel like uttering a blessing, such as seeing a beautiful mountain, celebrating the birth of a child. Whatever the occasion, these blessings recognize the special relationship between God and humanity. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Halom. Praised are you, Adonai, our God, ruler of the universe. Mr. Aloni went on to explain that the word Baruch is also related to the word in Hebrew, Berech, B-E-R-A-C-H, which means knee, like the knee joint. Another use of the root of Baruch is the Hebrew word Lahavrich, which refers to taking a vine and putting part of the growing branch under the ground so it may sprout roots. Baruch is also related to the Hebrew word Barak, like our president, which means lightning. Barak is of a similar, although slightly different root. Okay, so all of that sort of Hebrew study over. What do we see when we compare these words? All of the various forms of the root word is something that has to do with a downward motion. You bend your knee to plant a portion of the vine underground so it sprouts new growth is to lower it. And lightning comes down from the sky to the earth. They all have in common a downward motion. So what we can draw from this quick exegetical turn is that the definition of Baruch means coming down. When Jews participate in a standing prayer, in fact, they bend their knees when mentioning the word Baruch in the first blessing. This is indicative that the word Baruch means going in a downward direction. More specifically, in the general context of a blessing, Baruch means God is bringing something down to the earth. What could it be that God is bringing down to the earth? To answer this, we have to go to the second word. And this is what I learned to do in my intro to preaching class, is to exegete, is to interpret each one of these words to get at what God is trying to tell us. In our blessing, you see, Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Halom. Praised are you, Adonai, our God, ruler of the universe. Atah, the second word in that blessing, means you in Hebrew. If Baruch means coming down, we connect the two words. Baruch atah means you, God, are coming down. The real intent of a blessing is to cause God to come down among us. In Psalm 67, the psalmist's words are a reminder that God continuously blesses us, and the psalm directs us that we must respond in the same way to one another. This new, richer understanding of blessing immediately caused me to think of Syrian refugees who are trying to escape war and genocide, and wondered if God would be pleased with our collective response to this crisis and my personal response. I also thought of recent violence in our own country, visited upon African Americans in various cities and police in other cities, and started to toss and turn, thinking about what God wants me to do to respond to these problems. And as I let my mind start to wander, there are lots of problems. Problems all over the world, problems right down the street. And then I had lunch with my friend Deborah. Deb, as I call her, is the daughter of a family friend in my church in Carbondale. She grew up Presbyterian, but she went to seminary, learned Hebrew, and converted to Judaism. She's a great resource, and I shared my attempt to understand Psalm 67 with her, and we talked about my recurring feeling that it was leading me to try to do something, everything, more, so much so to change the world, to help the situations that have existed, that I was overwhelmed. And Deb smiled at my sincere desire to save the world, but then she led me back to a place of reason. She pointed out that Psalm 67 is a psalm of praise that is organized along the lines of the three main tenets of Judaism, which focus on the relationships of God's people and the Creator, God's people and one another, and God's people and the earth. Our blessings come from God, from one another, and from the earth. The first three verses acknowledge God as sovereign and praiseworthy. The middle two verses remind us that God is God over all of us, judging with equity, and that we should do the same. And the final two verses recognize that we must be responsible for God's creation, and that God will always come down to us, bless us, and take care of us as we look out for one another. Deb said, "You cannot save the whole world, but you can take one step, then one more step, then one more step." She reminded me that each step demonstrates my intention before God. And finally, she urged me not to lose track of the needs of the world as I journey on, but to keep focus on how God has blessed me and how I might share God's blessings with others. In the end, I might save the world, but that should not be the intent of my actions. I should just go forward in life joyfully and take one step at a time. The real point is that we have to do something, even if it's incremental and truly just one step. To do nothing is to deny God's blessing upon us and to deny blessings to others. That is not acceptable for Christians. That is not how we respond to God's grace, peace, and love. Write a letter to the editor. Make a contribution to a cause. Support an aid organization. Contact your senators about legislation that it is considering to keep refugees from settling in the United States. Do something. Take one step. Psalm 67 is light and bright and speaks of harvest and bounty, something like Eastertide, which I told you is when it was concluded in the lectionary. With its promise of spring, it's appropriate that it belongs as the reading for the sixth Sunday of Easter. The psalm allows Christians then to hold on to hope, even in the midst of despair, and to trust that God has been faithful, and to know that God has been faithful, and to believe that God will be faithful over and over. God has blessed us and will bless us again. God does not stay distant or silent forever. God is with us, and God's face is shining upon all in Eastertide and every day thereafter, in the darkness as well as in our light. God is blessing us all, and we are blessed to be a blessing to others. One of my favorite choir anthems, and I thank the choir for allowing me to sing a song of blessing with you this morning. It was quite fun. But one of my favorite choir anthems is a song called "The Journey is Our Home" by Alan Pote. It has new meaning for me now that I've spent some quality time with Psalm 67, and I want to share the opening lyrics with you. Awake, arise, the journey's begun. We travel on together as one. We know not where the road will lead, but we move in faith, making love our creed. As we follow, the journey is our home. No matter where you end up on any journey, as I did with the young people, you must take a first step. And even though we've been walking around this earth for years, today represents the opportunity to take a new first step. Christians, as people of God, we must remain aware of all of the actors in God's salvation history: family, friends, peoples of other faiths, nations of the world, and the earth itself are all actors with whom Christians interact through the blessing of God in the gift of Jesus Christ. You might change the world, but just start out more simply. Step out in faith and in response to God's blessing of you. Be a blessing to others. God gave Jesus, God's only Son, out of love in order to reconcile the world to God's self. The response of Christians to this great godly gift thus has to do everything with reconciliation. Don't stand still. We can't stand still. Take one step. Take another step. And take another step. As the Apostle Paul taught us, God reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Therefore, be an ambassador for Christ. Psalm 67 insists that we never forget the wideness of God's sovereignty, God's love, and God's mercy. The gospel is not ours to keep, but to give away. So journey on. Amen.